Are you ready? Change the slide. I will tell you, if you are a note taker and you're watching online or in person, what you see here, this is the only slide you're going to get today. You're going to have to listen and keep your Bible open and take your notes that way. Find Philippians chapter 3 and just keep your Bible open. Let me set this up for you. I felt led to begin a new series, and it's going to be another one of those rather long series. If you have a short attention span, I don't apologize. You got to get over it, because the reality of it is, if we're going to survive in these last days, we have got to know what God's Word says, and to do that properly, we've got to go deep. Okay? And we cannot go deep if we go fast. Matt, you run digging equipment sometimes, don't you? If you've got a large, deep pit to dig, you can't do it fast, can you? It takes time. The series is entitled, What's Ahead is Better Than What's Behind. And it's going to be a study in the book of Hebrews. Now, some of you are going to be real sharp here, real quick, and you say, Pastor, that says Philippians. That doesn't say Hebrews. Well, you're right. It says Philippians, because that's where we're starting to set up our series on Hebrews. So Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, and we will go through chapter 4, verse 1. And I will tell you then that we will go back through it, and we will look at some things that the Lord had jumped out at me as I studied through this chapter. I will tell you, I actually was going to start in Hebrews 1 today, and something just didn't feel right. And yesterday morning early, I woke up, and a part of this chapter came to my mind, so I got up, I pulled it up on my computer Bible, and as I started to look at verses 12 and that general area of this chapter, I began to back up to give it context and discovered that if we really want the full context of what Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, we needed to go through the entire chapter. And verse 1 of chapter 4 really needs to be in there, because they cut the chapter off in the middle of a paragraph. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. If you're online, I hope you've got your Bible handy. I hope you have your Bible with you if you're here, or that you have your Bible app. And if you don't have those handy, look on with the person sitting next to you this morning. Paul says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. All right, Paul was having to battle against those who had come into the church. They were known as Judaizers. They wanted all of the Christians, both Jew and Gentile, to go back to obeying the Jewish law, including the law of circumcision. That's what Paul was fighting. I'll tie it in just a few minutes with what that has to do with us today. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. Now here's where Paul gives us a little insight into his life. It may sound like he's boasting and bragging, but how many of you have realized at times you have got to put forth a little bit about who you are so that people will sit up and listen? Okay? I've had a few people that I've encountered in life who said, titles and accolades don't mean anything to me. I don't pay attention to them. Well, can I just tell you, there's times we need to. As I shared with somebody recently, if I bring in a gentleman and I tell you this is Brother Doug Clay, he is our general superintendent in the Assembly of God. He is our top leader. I hope you're impressed a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't get some of these accolades by accident. So Paul, even though Paul is known by these people, right here he's having to tell them, listen, if anybody had a reason to have confidence in what they've accomplished in their life, he says, it's me.
If
anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, he says, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. I'm of the people of Israel, the chosen of God. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. The first king of Israel came from that tribe. And Paul, whose Hebrew name is Saul, was named after that king. He says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I am a Pharisee. As for my zeal, I persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. But whatever my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some points you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Can I interject this right there for a moment? It's not even part of what I really want to look at this morning. You need to ask yourself, based on the knowledge you have of the Word of God and what Christ commands of us, are you living up to that? Or are you living below it? Are you living up to the potential you already have from God? Or are you going to skate by on less than your best for him? Those of you watching online, yes, they really are still awake. They just didn't want to answer that one out loud. Verse 17, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Once you go back, I, like I said, I have highlighted certain phrases, and I want to touch on each of them briefly this morning. Keep in mind, our series is entitled, What's Ahead is Better Than What's Behind, and today we're talking about pressing on. Did any of you ever run track? Got one or two that ran track, three that ran track. When you were getting close to the finish line in a race, and you could see one of your competitors, your opponents, getting close to you out of the corner of your eye, when you got close to the finish line, what did you do? You press on. You watch those runners. They lean into it. I mean, they're leaning, hoping to just get an eyelash across the line before their opponent. Can I tell you, right now, we live in such a time that I believe that Christ is coming back soon, whatever that means in his time frame. And the ones that are going to make it across that finish line are those who are ready to press on. So let's see what Paul says here. First thing that we need to do is in verse 1 of chapter 3, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to be very blunt and honest with you, and I'm going to include myself in this category. I've heard a whole lot more whining and complaining the last few months than I have rejoicing. And the main reason why is because we've all had our eyes on the roundhouse. We've had our eyes on the White House. We've had our eyes on the Capitol building. We've had our eyes on the news media. We've had our eyes everywhere but where it should be, and that's on Christ. Come on now, folks. The harder I stomp our toes, the louder the amens ought to be this morning. Paul starts out, and let me remind you of this, and some of you are going to say, Pastor, we're getting tired of hearing this. Well, I don't care. You're going to hear it anyway. I want to remind you that when Paul wrote some of these letters like Philippians, he was sitting in a Roman jail. And one of the Roman jails he was in towards the end of his life was literally underground, and the city sewer dumped into that jail cell along with others. Are you hearing me? And yet in the midst of this, Paul says many times over, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. See, our joy does not come from our circumstances. Our joy comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. The problem is for the last several months especially, it's easy to sit inside the walls of this building and say amen, but what are you doing when you walk out of the door and head home? Rejoice in the Lord. Paul says, look, I don't care what's going on. Keep your focus where it needs to be. Keep your eyes on Jesus and rejoice. And he says, look, it's no trouble for me to keep telling you this over and over. Now, in the midst of your rejoicing, verse 2, watch out for those dogs. Now, anymore, there's not a big controversy in our society over whether or not Gentiles should be circumcised to be Christians. But Paul, throughout his writings, talks to us about it and says the real circumcision is not in the flesh. It's a circumcision of the heart. It's about cutting off everything from your heart life that will hinder you from serving Christ. Are there hobbies you have that interfere with your time with the Lord? Drop them. Are there people in your life that you're hanging with as close friends that are keeping you from serving God the way you should? Drop them. Are there TV shows that are interfering with you spending time in God's Word? Turn them off. You say, but Pastor, some of the people that are causing me trouble, they're part of the church, they're fellow Christians. Listen, just because they claim to be a fellow Christian, if they're not encouraging you, as Trevor talked about in Sunday school, if they're not lifting you up, you don't need to spend time with them. Amen. If they're not helping you along in your journey, causing you to grow closer to Christ, maybe they're not the friends you think they are. Paul says, listen, I don't care what credentials these people bring with them. I don't care who they say they are. I don't care what their claims are. He says, watch out for those dogs. For some of us, it's not other people that are the problem. It's ourselves. We get to thinking a little too much of ourselves. Well, I may have some problems and issues, but I'll just tell you right now, I'm a whole lot better than old Trevo over there. I may do such, but I'm not doing what old Charlie's doing. Paul says, I don't care what you have to think that you are special. I don't care what your background might be. I don't care what levels of achievement you have reached. Look at verse 7. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. See, the reality, Paul gives us his stuff. See, look, come June, I will have been doing ministry 40 2 years. So I'm going to do like Paul. I've been doing ministry for 42 years. I've been a senior pastor for, it'll soon be 28 years. I have a bachelor's in theology and Bible. I have a lot of self-education. I was halfway through a master's in theology. On and on the list could go. But the reality of it is it all means nothing if I'm not being faithful to Christ. I cannot press on to what is ahead if I'm constantly resting on the laurels of my past. We've got two different nurses sitting here with us. They both have their degrees at their nursing level. They have their licensure, their licenses. But they have to renew those licenses every 2 years, I believe it is. And in that 2 years, between every 2 years during that time, they don't get to sit back and point to what they did. They have to do what's called continuing education. They have to keep learning. Friends, I want to ask you a question, and you need to answer this honestly to yourself. When's the last time you got into God's Word and you actually learned something new you didn't know before? See, if you stick to just the parts of God's Word that you already know or the parts that are easy for you to understand, you're not pressing on, because we need all of God's Word. And I can tell you, I've read through the Bible from start to finish multiple times, but every time I go through it, I find something new. Because it's a living book. I want to skip verses 12 through 14 a moment. We'll come back to them. I want to go down to verses 18, 19, and 20 for a moment. In verse 18, Paul says, I've often told you these things before, and I'll tell you to you again, even with tears. And this is what brought the tears to Paul's eyes. Do you realize there are many who live as enemies of the cross of Christ? See, we don't like to think that way about people we know. We know, how many of you know somebody that's not a Christian? You just flat out know they're not serving the Lord. It's obvious. And we want to look for the good qualities in them. We want to look for the best in people. But friends, do you understand? If we're going to take the view that Christ does, we need to understand. You're either, as we sang this morning, you're either a friend of God or you're an enemy of God. There's no in between. If you're not serving Christ, you're serving the devil and you're an enemy of God. We don't like to think that way, but the Bible declares it that way. Now, what do we do with those who are enemies of God? Do we write them off and forget about them? No. They're the very ones that we need to be pressing on and showing them what the love of Christ is really all about, because our goal is to bring them into the family of God. God's desire is for them to come into His family. I saw this posted recently again. Hell will not be full of people who God rejected. It will be full of people who rejected God. Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, their destiny is destruction. Friends, it may look like right now that the most evil, wicked people are the ones that are prospering. But hang on, because this is temporary, and when eternity comes, if they haven't repented, destruction is their destiny. Folks, I got news for you. It may get really bad here in the next few months for us, but compared to what we have waiting for us in eternity, it's minor. The next phrase he says there in verse 19 is, their God is their stomach. I'm going to tell you something. I have not seen in my lifetime, like I have in the last few years, how many people are so overly controlled by their base needs and appetites. I know people that when the moment their stomach tells them they're hungry, they think if they don't get food right then and there, they became what, you know, there's that term that's being used, hangry, hungry, angry. Let me tell you something. If your stomach so controls your attitude that the minute you're hungry, you become angry if you don't get food right away, you need to grow up. There's nothing wrong with our appetites. There's nothing wrong with the certain physical desires, but we have got to learn to put them under the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Their stomachs are their God. And their glory is in their shame. Have you noticed how certain wicked people in this world, the more damage they do, the more proud they are of themselves? And the sad part of it is, though, is there's a lot of them that have done it under the name of Christ. Did you hear me? I just saw again the other day, another so-called pastor has had to resign his church in shame because he was taking money from the church to live a lavish lifestyle. I will tell you right off, I'm not doing that because this church doesn't have that much money. And even if it did, I wouldn't do that because I'd be afraid of getting caught. Christ has done too much in me and for me and invested too much in my life for me to do that to his people. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is where? In heaven. We need to be very careful, and I want your attention on this. I do not want to be misunderstood. Being a good citizen of the United States and a patriot for our nation is a good thing. But the minute it interferes with your Christianity, it's an idol and it's wrong. And I'll give you a good test of how you can tell if you've allowed it to become an idol. If you talk more about the government and patriotism and you're watching and listening to more news than you are the Word of God, it has become an idol and has misplaced God, it has replaced God in the number one spot in your life. Thank you for that one vote of confidence. Let me clarify this. If there's anything in your life that takes up more of your thought life, more of your conversation, and more of your daily routine than God and what God wants you to do, it's an idol. Now, those of you that work long shifts, you understand what I'm saying. Even in the midst of that workaday world, Christ can still be uppermost in your thought life. In fact, those of you that are working jobs, I know we got several of you that are retired. Those of you that are still working jobs and you've got coworkers that are difficult to deal with, if you'll focus more on Christ than you do on that coworker won't bother you so bad. I know from experience. I'm not talking about my current coworker. Some of you will get that one in a moment because I'm my only coworker, okay? Their mind is on earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll ask you a question, and you can answer this one just in your own heart and mind. Honestly, who's your Savior? Is it really Christ? Or right now, is it Donald Trump? Or Joe Biden, or some other political figure? Or is it your paycheck? Is it your spouse? Whatever sits on the throne of your life and has first priority in your life is what you are looking to be your Savior. And right now we're in a time frame where the devil is going to throw so many things at us, trying to knock Christ off the throne of our life. We determine if he stays there or not. Now go with me back up to verse 12. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already been made perfect." In the New Testament and in the Bible, oftentimes that word perfect simply means complete or fully mature. But, he says, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Do you realize when you repent of your sins and ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior, he takes hold of you and wants to give you a life that is blessed by him. Now, the problem there is, number one, we sometimes get our focus off of him and we shut off the valve of blessing. And the other big problem is we forget what he means by blessing. We want to equate blessing with what? Wealth and material possessions. But in all honesty, God wants to bless us so far beyond all of that that those things pale in comparison. What if you and I got so focused on him that all of a sudden, whatever physical ailments we had didn't matter anymore? You realize maybe if we got more focused on him, our healing might come quicker. But if it doesn't, it really doesn't matter, because the blessing, greatest blessing in life, is our relationship with him. Because that blessing is manifested in some things that money cannot buy. Peace of mind. Oh my goodness, I'll tell you right now. You know why so many people out there are going off their rocker over this whole thing with COVID and the elections and all? You know why they're going off their rocker and just saying things that are just completely ridiculous and asinine? It's because they don't have the peace of mind that only comes from serving Christ. But what breaks my heart is I'm not seeing evidence of that peace of mind in the body of Christ like we should. Can I just tell you, folks, the devil is, he knows his time is short and he's on the move. He is attacking. You say, Pastor, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure, because I know what he's been doing to me the last few months. That peace of mind doesn't just happen. I have to get into the Word. I have to get into the prayer closet. I have to ask the Holy Spirit to walk beside me every day, every step of the way. Amen. It's not a one and done. It's an ongoing, continual relationship. Amen. Paul says, brothers, in verse 13, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. You know, one of the devil's silliest little games he likes to play? He likes to play that game. Yeah. You really think you're qualified to do that? Remember what you did. Yeah, you want to talk to your coworker about such and such and witness to him. What about the time you lost your temper? Listen, the minute you ask God to forgive you of something, it's in the past, leave it there. How many of you watched the original Lion King? The original Lion King from... Oh! My favorite character was Rafiki, the baboon. One, I like the actor that did the voice for him, because I remember him from his big television show years ago. But he played Benson. Some of you might not like Benson. Benson can be very sarcastic, but he and I spoke the same language. I love Rafiki. And my most favorite scene with Rafiki is when he whacks Simba on the head with his cane, and Simba says, ouch, what was that for? He goes, it's in the past. What does it matter? Every time the devil comes to you, you need to whack him in the head and say, it's in the past. What does it matter? As long as you have asked God to forgive you and you have repented and God has granted you that forgiveness, it's in the past. What does it matter? Carmen, great Christian singer and entertainer, had a song out many years ago. One of the lines in that song said, when the devil reminds me of my past, I just remind him of his future. Forgetting, we're in verse 13. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Folks, the day of the lazy, lackadaisical, meandering Christian is over. You better get in line, get in step, and be ready to march at double speed to the battle. In the military, back in the days, especially when they marched on foot everywhere, the enemy oftentimes would circle around behind with a small group so they could pick off the stragglers. Folks, the devil is waiting for the stragglers so he can pick you off one by one. Folks, snap to it, get in line, get ready to march, put on the whole armor of God, and let's run to the battle today. Amen. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward, Christ Jesus. Folks, if you're so focused on this life that this is all you can think about, the devil is already winning the battle with you because he's got you looking the wrong place.
Yes, yes, he
does. I love this life. In spite of the nonsense that's going on right now, I love this life. Unlike a lot of people out there, I love being married.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. I was a bachelor till I was 29 years old. I can tell you the single life is not all some it's cracked up to be. Jeez. I didn't like being a bachelor at all. Of course, I didn't want to just fall marry for the sake of marrying and marry the wrong person. This is a statement I made before. When you're married to the right one, marriage is a little bit of heaven on earth. When you're married to the wrong one, it's hell on earth. And I'm not saying that to cuss. You know what I'm saying? I love this life. I love being married to my wife. I love raising my sons. I love seeing where God has got my sons headed. And I'm so grateful that in spite of the occasional butting of heads we have, which, by the way, my son sent me a message a while ago that his pastor said that you and I are not perfect. Can you believe that? I'm going to have a talk with this young pastor telling my boys that his parents aren't perfect. I love this life. I love watching you that are part of this church family. I love watching you when you grow in your walk with the Lord. Now, I'm not too happy when you slip backwards, but I am happy when you decide to take steps forward and grow.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. But this life is temporary. Your mother just turned 102 on Thursday. And we look at that and we say, my goodness, she is, excuse the way I'm going to say this, I say this in respect, she's so old and she's lived such a long life, but in the overall scheme of eternity, that's all it's been.
Yep.
Don't answer this question out loud, but you need to answer it to yourself very honestly. Let me ask you a question this morning. Where's your focus? Are you pressing on, just hoping to survive today? Or are you pressing on, saying, Lord, I'm ready to run the entire race however long you want me to, because there's a prize waiting for me, and it's not in this world, it's in the world to come.
Amen.
In His presence. We are going to spend a long time in the book of Hebrews.
Amen.
Pressing on. Looking at what's ahead, because the entire book of Hebrews, the writer and the author of Hebrews set out to do one thing, and that was to show those people that what was ahead in Christ was better than what was behind them in the law. And we're going to apply that to us in this day and time in which we live.
Amen.
But to do that, we've got to be determined to press on.
Thank you,
Jesus. You get up tomorrow and you have a bad day. It's a bad day. It's not a bad life. Press on.
Amen.
Somebody says something to you that hurts your feelings and makes you upset. Let it go. Put it in the past. What does it matter? Press on, because what's ahead is better than what's behind. Oh, but pastor, we may have gas prices and grocery prices may rise and go up, and we may lose some things in our nation. That's okay. What's ahead is still better than what's behind.
Amen.
Because we're going to be one day closer to eternity with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Pressing on, pressing on, pressing on.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
If you're ready to press on, stand to your feet. I'm going to give a bit of praise because it looks like we had no technical issues with the broadcast this morning. Still going right here. Still going back there, right? Well, if it's going there, it's going here. Here, then it's going there. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. As I pray for you, each one of you need to pray in your own way. And if there's anything right now that's in your life that you know is not pleasing to God, you need to admit it, confess it, repent of it, which means you tell Lord God you're sorry for doing it and ask for His help to make a U-turn and head away from it. And ask Him to give you the strength today to press on.
Amen.
Pressing on is not easy.
Yes.
I got news for you. Following Christ is not for wimps. Because
no,
we're in a battle.
Amen.
I think one of the problems we've had for many of us in our lifetime, even for the oldest of us that are here, those of us that are that 50 plus age, part of the problem we've had is Christianity in America has gotten soft. There's a song out, I don't remember all the words to it, but it talks about things. We want rock star preachers. Sorry, you don't have a rock star pastor. I would look really, really bad in skinny jeans. And all the people said. It talks about the fact that so much of the time, the people sitting out here are not participating in praise and worship. They're watching a show and a concert up here. We're not good enough up here to be providing a concert. So you might as well join in and worship with us.
Amen. Amen.
Too many in America today, they want to come to church and they want to get their feelings soothed and they want to get themselves stroked and told it's okay. Let me tell you something, folks. This world's not okay. This world is under the power of the prince of the air. His name is Satan. And our job and our task here is to go to battle and save souls and take them back from the kingdom of this enemy and bring them into the kingdom of God. But we don't do that unless we're pressing on, forgetting what is behind and looking to what is ahead. Amen? So this morning, you need to talk to the Lord in your own way, and you need to get it clear, the air clear between Him and you so that you can press on today and be a useful soldier in the army of God. Amen?
Amen?
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord God, may we, like Paul, forget what is behind today and press forward knowing that we have something great waiting for us in the future. This world is not our home. We are simply pilgrims traveling through this life, and our task is to get as many others heading in the same direction as we are so that one day we will step into your presence and we will step into your kingdom to spend eternity with you, O God. And when the enemy comes to remind us of the sins of the past, Lord God, may the Holy Spirit remind us that you have dropped them into a sea of forgetfulness. You have thrown them away from us as far as the east is from the west. Lord God, may each and every day be a time and a day that we move closer to being more and more Christ-like. Now, Lord God, give us strength as we leave this place. Forgive us for anything that is a hindrance between you and us. And may the Holy Spirit strengthen us each and every day to not return to those things. And we ask it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Which means,
so
So be it. God bless you. Press on. Press on.